If I heard Sister Mary incorrect, and I did, it's what I was trying to say yesterday, in that losing our first love is a subtle thing that happens. It just doesn't happen overnight. It's an erosion. It takes place over time, little by little. And that's why, as I think, as we read these letters to the church and churches in Revelation, you find that the power of the gospel to deliver us needs to be an everyday kind of a thing, where there's victory over overcoming power over these subtleties, these deceptions, these difficulties. We're going to read the letter this morning, if you have a Bible, in Revelation chapter 2 to the church in Smyrna. And I guess I'd like to leave for you the opportunity at the end to tell us all what is it that we're supposed to overcome. You're going to read this. We're going to read about Smyrna. We're going to read about what the Lord says to the church in Smyrna. And at the end, then it's going to say again, to him that overcometh. And overcoming something that's in Smyrna, they need to overcome this. What is it that they need to overcome, I guess, is what we're going to try to figure out. Because, again, there's something here that is, what should I say, it's not very overt. It's something maybe more subtle. And, well, let's read it and see what we're talking about. First of all, Smyrna. This is on the northern coast there. It's a seaport city. It was almost as famous as Ephesus, but not quite. Of all the churches that we read of, these seven that were written to, and that's maybe not supposed to be this way, but Ephesus was probably the largest and the most prominent, and Smyrna was second to it. Smyrna was a very important place, not, as they say, as large as was Ephesus, but a lot going on, a lot of everything going on, and being on the coast, it was a valuable place, and there was a lot of wickedness also in Smyrna. There was a lot of wickedness all over the world in Asia Minor at that time. At this time, there's a lot of wickedness still in the world. Back in the 80s and 90s, and still this time, the world is wicked, and Smyrna. This city, who was the famous guy that lived in Smyrna? Do we know of anybody? Ancient history, church history. We saw a DVD about him last year. If you were here, we were in that room, and I had a whole bunch of Christian history figures. So we looked at Wycliffe, and we looked at Huss, and we looked at this one and that one, and we looked at this guy's life too. Do you remember who he was? He was from Smyrna. He eventually lost his life. They killed him, as they were prone to do at that time in that city. His name was Polycarp. I don't know if we remember that story that you saw. Maybe I should pull it out again next week and show you again. But Smyrna was a difficult place. You know what the name Smyrna means? You probably don't. And maybe knowing what it means, we'll have to interpret that a little bit more. But the name Smyrna means myrrh. Myrrh. Now, what is myrrh representative of? What do we know about myrrh? Well, the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you've heard, I'm sure you've heard this part. Maybe you haven't heard Smyrna and myrrh, but maybe you've heard gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is being brought to Jesus. The gift was being brought to him because gold is, he's a what?
King.
And so you bring the gift of gold, right, gold to a king. Frankincense, what's that have to do with anything? Why did they bring that? Why did the wise men bring frankincense? Priest, incense, offering up the savor, the sweet smell. Okay, gold, frankincense. Now, why myrrh? What's myrrh have to do with anything? For his burial or his death. It was often, I guess, the thing associated with a person's death. They used myrrh. And so gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh is akin to like death or something like it, a hardship that leads to death or whatever. Well, Smyrna, interestingly enough, that name Smyrna means myrrh. And as we see what happened in Smyrna and what was going on in Smyrna, I guess it was an appropriate name for them. maybe we should just read the few verses together before we talk about it. To the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came back to life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I'm the one that was dead and I'm the one that came back to life. Now, two things there that I think are important. Number one, the easy part is the one that was dead and came back to life is obviously who? It's kind of obvious to me that the one who's speaking, the one who has identified himself as the speaker, identifies himself as the one, I was dead, but I'm not dead anymore. I've come back to life. And I don't think it was Lazarus that we're reading about. I think it was Jesus. Lazarus by now is probably dead again. But Jesus was dead. Jesus came back to life. But what about Alpha and Omega? First and last letter of what alphabet? Greek. Okay, like A to Z. I'm the beginning and the end. Now, is that talking about Jesus? Well, yes. But, and I don't want to look at these verses, but if you want to jot them down, Isaiah 41 verse 4, 44 verse 6, 48 verses 12 and 13, you'll find all of those times that that expression, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is all used in connection with speaking about Almighty God. Yahweh, Jehovah God, I am the beginning and I am the end. I am God. I am Yahweh. I am Almighty God. But the same one that identifies himself as Jesus here identifies himself as Yahweh. So what do we conclude? That Jesus is God. Jesus is equating himself, and now this is not new to you. You know this already. Jesus is Almighty God. And so the one who's speaking has authority. He has power. He's the beginning and the end. He always was. He's eternal. He was in the heavens with God at the beginning and came down to earth as Jesus was born and lived and died. And now he says, now listen up, because when I speak, you had better listen, because what I say is weighty. What I say is authoritative. What I say is the word that needs to be understood and heeded. Here's what I say, he goes on. I know your afflictions, and I also know your poverty. As I said before, it was a place of persecution, afflictions. See, there was the worship of Caesar. Now, there were all kinds of gods and all kinds of false worship, and you find different gods and different churches written to here. Smyrna's problem was they especially would worship Caesar. But it wasn't the kind of thing, well, you worship your God and I'll worship my God. If you didn't worship Caesar, you would be persecuted for not worshiping. They would confiscate property. I think the guy's name was Domitian, would systematically just go around and kill Christians. Why? Just because, that's why. I don't need any reason to kill Christians, because they're not worshiping Caesar. You want a job? You're not going to get a job. Oh, you might get a job. We'll find you some menial position someplace, serving us in some way, shape, or form, but you're not going anywhere. You want to go to what then were schools of higher learning? You're not going to those schools. You're not going any place. You Christians, you're not going. You're not doing anything, going anywhere. We'll kill you when we want to. All because you don't bow and worship Caesar. And so he says here, I know what's going on there. I know the affliction. You're suffering. It's not easy for you to be a Christian in Smyrna. It's not easy for you to let your light shine in Smyrna. You don't never know when you're going to get killed in Smyrna. And again, if I guess nobody here remembers, but if you remember the story of Polycarp, and you remember how they chased him from place to place, all and around Smyrna to another city close by, back to Smyrna, and people would try to watch out for him because he was a marked man. He didn't seem to care. I mean, he was, okay, I'm okay, whatever. I don't have to run. And if they take my life, they take my life. If they kill me, they kill me. Just such a serenity and such a peace. in that whole atmosphere and climate back then, because I know that God is over all. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And so, well, come what may. And it was a difficult time, yes, a time of persecution. And he says here, not only affliction, but poverty. Well, the one led to the other, as I was trying to say before. No education, no job, poverty. That was the lot of the Christian community that lived in Smyrna. And yet he adds this line. It's kind of an interesting line. I know your poverty, yet you're rich. You're poor. I mean, you don't have two nickels to rub together. You're so poor, but you're rich. Of course, I don't think he was saying you really are rich because you got a stash in your mattress someplace. He was talking about spiritually you're rich. You're despised by the world. You're poor as far as the standards of the world are concerned, but you're rich towards God. You've got wealth that the world doesn't understand anything about. They think they're rich and increased with goods, and they don't need anything. I tell you, you're the one that's really rich. He goes on and he says, I know the slander. There are those that say they're Jews, and they're really not. They're of the synagogue of Satan. You've got these, well, they're the religious people. They say they're Jews. They're really not. They're not following. They don't really know. They say they are, but they're just hypocrites, imposters. They're not really true. He says, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Which means, you know, you've gone through this poverty and affliction, and all, but there's still more up ahead. Now, I wouldn't like to get a letter like this if I was living in Smyrna. I'd like to get a different letter that says, don't worry about it. Things are going to get better. Next week, things are going to turn around and you're going to be... I would like that. And you know, there are some Christians that think, well, you know what? That's the letter I should be getting. I'm a Christian. I should be getting the one that says there's no problems in life. When I go to school and when I go to the darkness and the world all around me, why the Lord's just going to cause all my enemies to bow down and worship me because here I come and I'm a Christian and Jesus is for me and he's bigger and he's greater. And so everybody's going to, wow, look at, here's a Christian. Well, it wasn't that way in Smyrna. And maybe it's not that way where you are either. There's opposition. There's persecution. There's hardship. There's affliction. And it was always that way, not just in Smyrna, but it was that way all through the early church. It was all the way down through church history. Sister Edith didn't have 9 hours because she probably could tell us about Martin Luther for at least 9 hours. But Martin Luther, she mentioned about how he had also suffered persecution, excommunication, banishment. It wasn't easy for Martin Luther. It wasn't easy for any of the Christian community. I don't think it's still easy for many people today that call themselves Christians. It's still not easy. We try to escape it. I include myself. I'm not looking for persecution. I don't try to go find it. I don't go back home and let's see, where can I get persecuted today? Let's see who can smack me. And if he hits me this way, I'm going to make sure he hits me this way too, because I just bring it on. No, I don't know that there's anybody like that. I don't think the people in Smyrna were like that. Let's see if we can be as offensive as we possibly can be. Let's put the gospel in their face so that they hate us for it. There are people like that. There are people like that. They're Christians. They're obnoxious. And I'm a Christian, and I like to smack them in the other cheek. Because you don't have to go running around looking for it. It says in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, yay, yes, that means yes. Not yeah. It means, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. What's it say? Finish it.
Will suffer persecution.
Yeah, it doesn't say they might suffer persecution. Now, again, I wish it did say that. I mean, I've looked in every translation I can find. Even the Message Bible doesn't translate it might suffer persecution. It's definitive. If you will live godly in Christ. Well, I'm glad that's written back in the New Testament. I'm glad that's not for us today. I mean, that's the verse among the many others, but that's one of the verses that I clip out. That was for them. It's not for us. Now we're past that, and now we're king's kids. And because we're king's kids, now we live high off the land. And now everything has to be, we have coffers that are filled with money. Poverty? Oh, I guess you don't know. As somebody said one time, if the Apostle Paul knew what we know today, he wouldn't have lived the way he did. And I say, I agree. If he knew what we know, he wouldn't live the way he lived. Thank God he didn't know what we know today. He knew something better than what we know today. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Would you look with me in your Bible for a moment at 2 Corinthians chapter 11? You've probably read this before. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody here. And before we end, we're going to temper it down a little bit so that we don't all go out there and look behind every tree and, they're coming. Oh, look at that guy on the lake. You think he's fishing? I don't think he's fishing. I think he's got a machine gun in there. No, we'll take it easy in a moment. But look at what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11. I'm sure you've heard or read this before, but when you just think of it, the Lord said, Paul, you're a chosen vessel. If this is a chosen, I don't want to be a chosen vessel. But then again, we pray, Lord, make me a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for you. Well, no, maybe not. Maybe I don't want to be a chosen vessel. Maybe we shrink back from being a Christian because we don't want to suffer persecution. Maybe we shrink back from, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to, oh, I am ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now, you know, I've gone to school for 2 years now in that school, and so far so good. Nobody knows I'm a Christian. I mean, I'm a success. I'm a successful Christian. At church, they know. At church, they hear. At church, I'm full out, both hands raised. Hallelujah. But when I go to school, I make sure I wear different shirts than the ones that say discipleship. I don't even wear Pilgrim Camp because they may Google it, find out I'm a Christian, and slice my throat. I'm not doing that. So when I go to school, I wear my Grateful Dead shirts. I wear my Beyonce. I make sure that I don't even know the girl, and I can't stand her anyway, but I wear her shirt because I want to make them think that, and I'm a secret Christian. Not going to confiscate my property. And I'm getting through this thing. I mean, if my professor knew what I believed, I'd go from an A to a D plus. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I'll never get into Harvard with those grades. These are some rough choices. Now, I'm not saying that that's your lot in life, but it might be. And it's not always easy to be a Christian. Maybe you think it is. Maybe it's supposed to be, you think. But I'm only reading what it says. And what I'm reading here, it's not always easy. And here's the Apostle Paul, his testimony. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, I've worked harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged, that's beaten up, more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Verse 24. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Think of that. Think of that. 39 lashes. Not once. Not twice. Five times. And Paul, I mean, after the third time, didn't you wake up? Didn't you finally come to your senses and realize, hide it under a bushel, yes? I'm not going to let it shine, 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 shine. Let some to anybody. They're not going to know. Nah. See, either he got hit so many times that he couldn't think clearly, or he was really a committed, devoted follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. I think it's the latter. Five times I received 39 lashes. If you received 39 lashes once, would you still follow Jesus? That's not the end of the story here. I mean, enough is enough already. But he goes on and he says, three times I was beaten with rods. That doesn't sound so bad. Doesn't sound so good. Once I was stoned. Oh, you say, well, I got stoned once. No. I'm talking about with stones. They threw rocks at this guy. And you know, you can die when they do that. And people have been known to die. You ever hear people like that? You read of them in the Bible. You get rocks thrown at you, and they hit you in the head enough times, you can die. They dragged. Remember when they dragged them out of the city? Dead? Remember that? They dragged them out of the city. They beat the living daylights out of them, dragged them out of the city, left them for dead. The people of God came around them. They prayed for him. His spirit revived. And then what did he do? Goes back in the city. This guy's clueless. No, he's not clueless. He's a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm not one of these conveniently serving Jesus kind of Christians. I'm one of these Christians that are committed all the way. Well, let me read it quickly because we're not interested in the life of the Apostle Paul. But he was stoned once, three times he was shipwrecked. Dear Lord. I mean, I know about one time. I read that once at the end of the book of Acts. But three times you're shipwrecked. Yeah, I spent the night and the day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city. Man, this poor guy. I mean, I'm about ready to cry for him. But he's not crying. He's not, oh, poor me, feel sorry for me. Oh, look at what all I've had to go through. He's the one that wrote, rejoice evermore, in everything give thanks. Hakuna Matata. You understand what that means? Don't worry. Be happy. It's okay. Why, all the things that happened to me, this is what the Apostle Paul says. I'm finished with 2 Corinthians 11. All things that happened to me, they've fallen out for the, what does he say? It's all for the furtherance of the gospel. So they got me incarcerated here, and I'm in chains, and I got a soldier on this side, and I got a soldier on this side, and I'm incarcerated. And don't worry about it. Whatever happens, it's happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, what a man. Smyrna, persecutions, afflictions. If you go to Acts chapter 20, verse 24, let me read it to you. If you beat me there, please read it loud. Acts chapter 20, I'm paging slowly so you can beat me. 20, 24. I'm waiting.
None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Man, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. So I'm going to fulfill the obligation that the Lord laid on my lap to proclaim the gospel wherever he's taken me. And whatever they've done to me, all this stuff in 2 Corinthians, then none of that moves me. None of that moves you? It would move me. No, it doesn't move me. I don't even count my life dear unto myself. The only thing that moves me is I want to do the will of God, and I want to finish my course with joy. In Acts chapter 5, you read, not Paul, Peter and John. They got beat, they got whipped, they got thrown in jail, and then they came out of jail, and what does it say about them? They went back to the temple where they weren't supposed to go back to, and they were rejoicing greatly because they were counted worthy to suffer for him. Oh, man. You know, I'm afraid to say this. It would do us good if somebody beat us up once. Maybe it would. They have to hit me once and I'm out of here. Maybe it would be good. And I'm not talking about, you know, so he took it seriously and he's going to go beat him up. You'd have to. No. That's not what we're talking about. For the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. These people in Smyrna were enduring afflictions, were enduring hardship. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Jesus in the Beatitudes said, blessed are you when men revile you. When they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus said to his disciples, hey, let me tell you something right up front. They hated me. They hate me. I mean, they hate me without a cause. And they hate me. And guess what? They're going to hate you too. Because they hate me. I wonder how ready I am to receive a letter from the Holy Spirit as a congregant there in the church that says, I'm the beginning and the end, and I know what's going on in your life. And I know the persecution that you face, and I know the afflictions that you suffer. And by the way, it's going to continue, and it's even going to get worse, as he says. But I want you to be faithful, even to the point of death. And I will give to you a crown of life. I want you to be faithful to the point of death. Now, you know, I'm looking around here, and I'm not too sure if I'm correct, but I think maybe I am when I say that none of us have ever been persecuted to the point of death, I don't think. Maybe none of us have lost our property, and none of us have been denied access to the school that we've registered in or sent our applications to. And maybe that hasn't hit us yet in our day. Maybe it has. But I wonder, and maybe there's nobody here that's willing to share with us or say anything about it. But I wonder if any of you kids, maybe at school, I wonder if any of you older ones, maybe at work or maybe in your community, I wonder if any of you, any of us, have ever in a small, I'm not asking you to stand up and say, well, they beat me 49, they hit me 39 times, and maybe not. But have any of you ever suffered affliction because of the gospel? I'm not want to hear about my mother spanked me when I was. For the cause of the gospel, have you suffered affliction? Have you been ostracized? Have you been shunned? Have you lost money for the cause of the gospel? Position, favor, friendships? Have any of us here this morning suffered any persecution in our lives because of the cause of Jesus Christ? Anybody here that's willing to say 5 sentences, 20 words, or 150? Philip?
I had a job in one hospital, and we had a new employee, and at lunchtime, he saw me reading my Bible, and he came and asked about what the Bible said about the gay lifestyle. And I showed him from my Bible, and within 3 weeks, I lost that job because he went over my head to my boss and told him what I showed him from the Bible.
Wow, that happened to you. I didn't lose my job. You know, when you said that, I went to Queens College. I told you that the other day. Brother Tom went, Brother Paul went. Queens College, great place. Queens College is a city university. It's not the place to go if you want to, you know, find Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can, but it's not the beacon of Christianity, not in the least. You know, we say, well, you know, universities are notorious today for being places of whatever, and they are. I mean, they're so left. They almost fell off the earth, if it's flat. Is it flat? I don't know where it is anymore. But but the university has always been that way. I mean, when I went to Queens College, it wasn't a nice place. I took a class once. It was a mandated freshman class. It was for one credit. I mean, what one credit? Well, one, it was 128, I think, I needed to graduate. Well, one, it would get one out of the way. And what it was is just basically orientation to what campus offers, what clubs are on campus, what you can do on campus. And I don't know how many hours altogether total it was, but I remember we were in class and the different clubs that were going to be on campus that you could join, and we'd invite you to join and so on and so on. And one of them was just what Brother Philip was talking about. Now, this is in the 70s. Some of you weren't born in the 70s. I was. I was even going to college in the 70s. So I was born long before the 70s. Anyway, there I was, and I was listening to the different ones. And you can join the volleyball team, and you can join intramurals and basketball, and you can do this and that and the other thing. And then this one guy got up. His name was B.B. Rebozo. He was a bozo, all right. He got up there, and And Rebozo was talking about, you can join our club, and we invite anybody. We're a bunch of men that love each other dearly, and blah, 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 blah. And the gay community would welcome you, and we're rainbow. And so if you want to come and join us, you can join us. And does anybody have anything, problem, any problems with my club? I don't know what made me do it, but I said, yeah, I have a problem with your club. Now, I'm not usually that, you know, I usually don't do that. And I told you before, you know, you don't go around looking to get smacked. I don't know, but I had a problem with this club. I had a problem with him. And one credit, I mean, how can they, you flunk me if you want to flunk me. I didn't think the thing through. But I raised my hand, and well, what's the problem? And I carried a little New Testament in my pocket, and I figured, well, my words are going to fall far short. So I just read a few verses from Romans 1. I guess I read things that he didn't like. I mean, he didn't seem to be appreciative. Because you didn't retain God in your thoughts, God gave you over to a reprobate mind, doing things that are unseemly, losing your natural affection for one another, men with men, and Bibi was sort of melting in his pink sneakers. and he was having a little problem with what I was reading. And afterwards, I didn't get kicked out of school, but there was a few different, yeah, stuff like that. But to lose your job, that's a lot worse. Anybody else? Sister Maureen. A job also.
Preschool last year, and they had a divorce party. All the women were having a. This woman was getting divorced, and I was like the only one that didn't go. And they were like, "Why?" And they go, "You don't want to buy her a gift?" And I was like, explaining the Bible what I believe about divorce, and they were like,
"Yeah, you feel kind of a." Pushing away and not being able to enter in. Yeah, you feel that, the stigma.
Like I wasn't
right. Anybody else?
In my freshman year of college, we had to take a mandatory writing class, English composition, basic stuff, just writing papers and just demonstrating that you could do that. And at the final paper for the class, you had to write about, I forget exactly what the topic was, but it was something along the lines of something that's important to your identity as a person and whatnot. So I wrote about being a Christian, and I, you know, put the gospel in there, wrote about, you know, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and whatnot. And I had done very well in the class thus, you know, to that point. And I remember feeling confident about it when I passed in my paper and everything. A couple of people in the class knew that I was a Christian, and I handed my paper. And when I got it back, I got a big fat F. I could not figure out. But then I could figure out what it was that caused that. So, I mean, nothing like losing a job or anything like that. But no, I remember it hit me in the stomach a little bit.
Yeah, if you didn't figure it out, come to me later. I'll tell you why. Or ask anybody else. Courtney, was your hand going up?
I remember a couple months ago, there was this new... This is a friendship kind of losing. So there was this new kid in our high school, and she just moved here from, I forgot, from state, Midwest, and she didn't talk to most people, so I kind of took that as an issue of, hey, kind of get to talk to her. And so we just became friends or whatever, and she told me that she was, I didn't know it at first, but since we were just in like a few weeks of friendship, that she was gay, and I kind of looked past it, but I told her I'm a Christian, that these are my views about it, and so we kind of just grew distant about that, and she's transferred now, but it was just like, I knew she would make things on social media that I kind of knew her about me, so that was kind of a learning experience about that.
Difficult sometimes. Difficult. But you know what? You're rich. And you're rich. And you may have lost your job, but you're rich. Maybe not in the eyes of the world. But you're rich towards God. And that's a more important place to have our values, our riches in Christ. So in closing, let me just read the rest of it. It says here, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution. But I like this. You'll suffer persecution for 10 days. It's not going to be forever. I can put an end to it, and I will. I got it all figured out. Just hang in there, he goes on to say. Well, not in that many words. Be faithful. Just be faithful. I know where you are. I'm the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And I know all about you there in Smyrna. I know where the synagogue of Satan. I know the Jews that say they are but are imposters and are not. And I know all the afflictions and I know all your poverty. I see everything that's going down. I know exactly what's happening to you in Smyrna. I know the myrrh. I know the difficulties. I know the trials. But I want to tell you, there in Smyrna, in your persecution, and even if it gets worse, be faithful. And even if you face the point of death, be faithful. Understand what it was that these others, like Paul and Peter and John, were saying and doing and teaching. And be faithful, even it says here, to the point of death. And I will give you a crown of life. Remember John Huss when he was being burned at the stake? What was he doing when the flames were taking the life out of his body? What was he doing?
Singing a hymn.
Singing. Amazing. When Stephen was being stoned and being martyred in the Bible in Acts, what was he doing? He looked up as the stones were pelting him, and what did he see? He saw Jesus. He saw heaven as if it were opened, and Jesus wasn't seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What was Jesus doing? Not welcoming him. He was, yeah, but I saw Jesus standing. Jesus, get up. I don't know if he sits all the time or stands half the time, but Stephen saw him standing. I wonder if that gave Stephen the courage that he needed, the strength that he needed to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So now we're at the end. To him that overcometh, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and he that overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. What's the second death? Well, what's the first death? And maybe you could tell me the second one. What's the first death? Done. Your earthly life passes away. First death. What's the second death? Say it again. I'm hearing, but I'm not hearing. Judgment day. And what happens if you're judged and you're one of the goats? Where do you go? To the second death. Hear the promise to those who overcome. You're not going to be hurt. The second death. Don't worry about the second death. Don't fear those that will kill your body. But rather fear those that will kill your body and your soul in hell. So hide it under a bushel? No. Ashamed of the gospel? No. Oh, but they may not like me and they may lose my job and I might lose some. So what? You're rich. You won't be hurt the second death. Oh, thank God. To him that overcometh. So here's the question at the end. What are we supposed to overcome? The gospel of Jesus Christ gives us power to save us to the uttermost, to the very end. But what are we overcoming? What is it specifically in this little letter that we need to overcome?
Life itself.
Okay, I know what you mean, Brother Gavin, but a little bit, flesh it out a little bit, somebody. What do we need to overcome?
Fear.
Fear. Fear of? No, forget about the judgment day. Fear of persecution, fear of hardship, fear of being ostracized or pushed away. Even, listen to me, even in your church, I don't know what church you go to, but even in among the church people, even in the, where they're Jews but they're really not, you know, there may be that clique in church, there may be those nine kids that are all living for the world, and if you don't fit in with them after all, and even in church, doesn't matter where you are, but take your stand for Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. because I'm on my way to Canaan's land, and be an overcomer. Be an overcomer, and you won't be hurt the second death. And there'll be a crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give. Paul says, he'll give to me, because I've overcome, because I've gone through all the mess, because I've been this and that and the other thing, but I didn't count my life dearer to myself. And I'm persuaded that there's a judgment coming, and he's going to give me a crown of life, but not me only, to all those that love his appearing. And so don't give up. Don't quit, young or old. Don't quit. Don't give up. Stay in the fight. Stay in the race. Stay in the walk. Overcome. There's power in Jesus Christ and in his word to give you a life of overcoming, a life of ceaseless praise. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to overcome this wicked world that we live in. Help us not to walk lockstep with the things of this world, the philosophies of this world, the people, the ideologies, whatever, of this world. We're not of this world. You've called us to come out of this world. And we walk to the beat of a different drummer. And because of it, they look at us askance, or maybe worse. They push us away. They don't understand why we don't celebrate what they celebrate. They don't understand that we don't run to the same excess of riot that they do. That the things that make their life tick, the things that they live for, don't enamor us. Lord, somehow or other, you've won our hearts and you've become precious to us. And we pray that you'll give us the help and strength that we need to overcome, Lord, our own inhibitions, our own fears, our own drawing back. No, dear Lord. Give us the strength that we need. Give us more grace when the burden grows greater. Lord, we thank you for it. I pray that you'll do that for these young people. I'm not picking on them, Lord, but I know what schools are like today and the wickedness that's prevalent and the peer pressures. Lord, I pray that they'll not understand anything about peer pressure. May they understand about the pressure of the Holy Spirit calling them to live for Jesus. May they feel that pressure, Lord, to please you, to live for you, to walk with you in white. Lord, I pray that you put that into all of us. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. 68, let's sing together in the white book. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. Number 68, as you're finding it, could I just mention to you that right after we dismissed this morning, yesterday we were rained out for shuffleboard. If anybody wants to shuffleboard this morning after meeting, we're going to go down there and there's going to be a little shuffleboard tournament. The winners are going to get a prize. I don't know what it is yet. It depends on who wins. If you're one of my relatives, you probably get nothing. I might babysit your kid for an afternoon. But we'll see what we give. But right after, there's a prize for shuffleboard, okay? And so come if you'd like to. And then snacks at 2, Sister Joyce Crafts right after lunch. And the DVD at 3. Okay? Shall we stand and sing together? Infinite riches. bless you today. Have a wonderful day. If anybody would like one of these readings from Sister Robinson, it's entitled Praise. We talked about it in the meetings a couple of days ago, and Brother Paul was kind enough to print something out. I'm going to leave them, Brother Philip, if you just leave them in the back. They'll be over here, or if you want one, I'd be happy to give you one.